There were peaceful demonstrations across the state and nation this week to protest the killing of George Floyd while in police custody in Minneapolis last week. And in many locations, including Madison and Milwaukee, violent confrontations between some protesters and law enforcement followed and lasted through the night. James E. Causey is projects reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and a 2019-20 Marquette University O'Brien Fellow. He's lived in and reported on Milwaukee for years and has often shared thoughts and perspectives on Milwaukee's racial tensions and what life is like there as an African-American man. The article he published for the Journal Sentinel this weekend is titled, "Don't Let Looters Obscure Message of Protests. Change Has to Come." James, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with your main one of your main points in that article, the fear you have that everything going on around the protests and the looting could lead people to lose track of what caused the protests in the first place. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I actually think some of that is starting to take place now. What the main focus should be on is the fact that a lot of African-American men and women are constantly losing their lives at the hands of law enforcement officers. And that's what the message should be, and that's what this is about. And not only losing their lives, there are a lot of people of color who feel like they're constantly harassed by law enforcement officers. But I think what we're seeing due to some of the looting of stores is that people are talking about the businesses are suffering and they're burning up stores and setting cars and on fire and things like that. Well, you know, that is bad, but at the same time, businesses and cars and garbage cans that are set on fire can be replaced, but lives can't.
And you grew up, I think, in Milwaukee. You've been reporting on the city for a long time now. What would you tell people, maybe people who aren't Black, who don't live in Milwaukee, what they would need to know about life in Wisconsin's biggest city for Black people?
Well, I could tell you about the frustration that I feel and that a lot of young people, I think they feel, because I talk to them often. And it's the fact that when they look around and they see their city not improving, they see that their chances at job opportunities are slim to none. They see that they know that their educational system isn't providing them the best education to prepare for life after high school. And they take a look around and they just see that, you know, they're under constant stress. They hear police sirens all the time. They see, you know, drug dealing, shooting, stabbings, and all these kind of things happen all the time, and things don't appear to get better. But when they look outside of the city and they see other areas thriving, that's enough to make you upset, because you judge the health of a city by how you treat its most vulnerable, how it treats its seniors, how it treats its kids. And if we were to give our city a grade on how we treat our most vulnerable, I think we're a C minus at best. I mean, when you think about graduation for Black boys, reading scores for Black boys in fourth and eighth grade, it's among the worst in the country. And when you look at our hyper-segregation that we live under, this city is not improving, and we're not moving the needle enough for people to have confidence, and they're not being heard. And when people are not being heard, it causes all kinds of problems, and they react the way that they're reacting.
Now, as we've heard on the show today and in the news, you know, yes, there was looting, and we'll talk about that some. There have also been peaceful protests that came, assembled, spoke their piece. What are you hoping people hear from those protests and, in some cases, prayer vigils?
Well, honestly, leaders need to open up their ears and hear what the people are saying. And I think young people have been ignored for the longest. You know, even and when I speak young, I'm not just talking about people under the age of 15 or so. I'm talking about college students as well. You know, young people don't feel like their voices are being heard. And when you're not being heard and you know you have something to say and people are not listening to you, that's a problem. So I would like for these protests to lead to honest conversations, and not only conversations, but actions, because action needs to take place right away. There needs to be, I want to know what our city's job plan is. I mean, when you think about it, you know, most cities have a job plan. Like, you know, leaders will say we want to have X amount of livable wage jobs by such and such time period. We don't have a jobs plan. We don't have anything like that in place. If they do, I don't know about it. And I think most of the citizens don't know about it. And if you don't have a jobs plan or a plan for economic recovery, then that's, you know, how are young people supposed to have confidence in its leaders? You know, how is the city supposed to have confidence in knowing that things are going to improve for them? How are we supposed to know that there's going to be jobs for them in the future? So we have to start with those kind of conversations that we're not having right now.
Talking to James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about protests in the city over the weekend, what he hopes comes out of them, and his concern that people will lose sight of the root causes of them. You did touch in your piece on your thoughts on looting, James, and a lot of times in other cities, people have pointed toward, well, outside people, not the locals. That's not what you, at least anecdotally, are seeing in Milwaukee. What do you think about who is doing the damage, and what would you want to say to them?
I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I don't know who's really to blame or who's to point finger at. I mean, you could look at videos. You see a bunch of young people committing acts, breaking into Walgreens and things like that. You see that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if you look a little deeper, it's not just young black people. You have young white people out there doing some of the same acts. I mean, and it's not just here. It's all across the country. I mean, there's a video that was on TMZ that had two white girls painting Black Lives Matter on the side of a Starbucks. And they got called out on it by a young black woman who was filming and saying, why are you doing that? And they was like, well, we're trying to support you guys. And she was like, I didn't want you to do that. And by you doing that, they're going to blame us, black people, for that, not you. And you're the ones who's doing it. So we have to keep in mind that this isn't a case where it's just black people going wild. It's a lot of people of all different races and colors out there doing wrong, and they're not all from Milwaukee.
Now, we've got all these protests that have happened. You're hoping a conversation starts. You're hoping for actual change. What would be the first step? What would be the first positive sign that would make you think, okay, maybe this time we're going to move in the right direction?
Well, first things first, I don't want a reactionary type response, because typically when something like this happens, we try to come up with a real quick, fast response to try to make people happy and make all of this go away. And usually when that happens, they toss a lot of money at some community organizations. They give money to the United Way or something like that. And this agency or an agency distributes this money to other groups. And then you just hope you don't have to deal with it, you know, for a couple of years or so. Well, we've done that before. We need to have deep-rooted conversations. We need to understand and find out what's on the minds of these young people. Why do they feel hopeless? Why is it that when they see violence all the time, we simply tell young people to get over it, and we don't provide the counseling for them that they need to deal with the stress and trauma that they experience all the time? Why is it when someone like Andre Lee Ellis has his garden on 9th and Ring, where he's seeking mentors, you know, he has a struggle to find mentors every year to fill a garden? So part of it falls on us too. We have to be there to help our young people. We have to be there to be some guidance for them and talk to them and see what's on their minds and give them the proper counseling and leadership and mentoring that they need. You know, so it's a lot of things that need to take place. So first of all, I think, you know, and I'll be willing to organize this if I have to, we need to have the major leaders come to the table, sit down and listen. Don't say anything. Just listen. And I know that police have their job to do. I know the mayor has his job to do. Aldermen and other politicians have their jobs to do. But what we need, they just need to listen and hear what's on the young people's minds, because these young people are their future constituents. These are the people who they're going to be soliciting to get votes from in the future. So they need to know what's on their mind, and they need to try to address these issues. So that's where it starts.
We're talking to James Causey right now. He's project reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about an article he published this weekend. It's titled, "Don't Let Looters Obscure Message of Protests. Change Has to Come." You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you take part in any of the protests across the state or region this weekend? Do you agree with James that the attention on looting and the looting itself could obscure the message of the protests themselves? If you're a person of color, what do you think your white neighbors need to understand about race in America and here in Wisconsin in particular? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with James Causey. He's a project reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He wrote an article this weekend, "Don't Let Looters' Obscure Message of Protest Change Has to Come." You can join in at 800-642-1234. We heard James lay out some of the many problems facing young black people in Milwaukee and elsewhere. Where do we start? What kind of things do you think need to change? What's your reaction to what happened last week in Minneapolis, to the protests since then? Do you worry that the looting takes away from the initial message of the protest? Have you been involved in protests yourself? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. James, you said earlier people need to listen to the young people in particular. I was wondering if you could highlight some bright spots of people doing things in Milwaukee. You mentioned Andre Lee Ellis of We Got This Milwaukee. We talked him on the show last year, I think, inspired actually in part, completely, James, by a piece you had written, a profile you had done on Andre Lee Ellis. Can you talk about some of the work that people are doing in Milwaukee that you think needs a wider audience?
Oh, yeah. Sharlyn Moore, the work she's doing at Urban Underground, really teaching young people social justice and activism. That's another key feature that she's doing. You know, the work that Homer Blow does with working, you know, raising money for toys for kids over the summer and constantly instilling education and information to people every day through his work on his through broadcasts. Then you have the Vaughn Mazes of the world who really goes unnoticed, but he does that kind of gritty work, him and Frank Nitti, where they work with people on a ground level, people that we honestly ignore all the time until they do something really bad. But they do more work and keep stopping fights, you know, stopping fights from happening, working with young people who don't have a place to go through their programs as well. I just think people like that really need to be supported and not wait until something really bad happens and then we turn to them. I mean, that happens all the time. And I think if we really want to address these issues, it shouldn't just fall on the people who are doing that kind of work either. I mean, I often hear that people don't know how they could help or what they could do. You know, when I write stories like this, you know, typically what I hear is, I'm a white woman or I'm a white man and I live in such and such place. How can I help? I don't really know what to do. Well, you could always come down and volunteer. If you could volunteer your time, you can volunteer tools if they need tools, services, money, whatever you could volunteer. Everybody has a role to play in this.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Charles on the line in Eau Claire. Charles, hello.
Hi. I was wondering if you had an idea of an example of, like, were these proper – you were mentioning that talks needed to happen between these individuals and, say, elected officials. And I was wondering if you had an example of a community that had a problem like this and did it well, you know, kind of addressed it properly.
You know, that's a very good question. Very few people really know how to have conversations around the issue of race, because race is really at the center of all of this. I can tell you what I did a couple of years ago. One thing I did this project called Where I Live, and I asked young people to tell me and describe in either poetry, a short story, pictures, or any way that they felt comfortable in describing the neighborhoods that they grow up in and what they see on a daily basis. And they did. And some of the things that they see and have experienced would scare even the bravest of us. And what I did was I brought elected officials to this meeting. and it was called Where I Live. And some of these young people, I had them sit at tables with some of these elected officials and talk to them about what they see on a daily basis. And, you know, and I want to hold them accountable to doing something to make sure that their neighborhoods are safer and that they don't have to experience these things. It starts with something as simple as that, you know, listening and finding out what the problems and issues are. Maybe it's something like, you know, you live in a one young lady I remember, she says that she's sandwiched in between two drug houses and she can't play outside. So she plays inside because of gunshots. You know, so I told the alderman in that district, you need to get in on this. You need to figure out how you could get these dope houses closed. So it's that kind of stuff that needs to happen. And, you know, it just starts as simple as conversation. And I always encourage someone, anyone out there to, you know, when you're doing lunch sometimes, and we could go back to doing lunch, do lunch with someone who doesn't look like you. Invite people into your circle that doesn't look like you and just listen. And you'll find out that you probably really have a lot more in common than you fail to realize.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about protests, reactions to police killing last week, and how to move things forward and actually move the needle, change things in Milwaukee and elsewhere maybe this time around. James, can you talk about just like seeing, following what you're just saying, seeing the humanity in people who are different from us? Because it's, you know, in a case like this, it's easy. We have a script. It happens every time. Bad thing happens, protests, riots, tear gas. It's the same conversation pretty much every time. How can we break through that and see, I don't know, people as people and not cliches?
Well, you know, I think we got to have these really deep, hard conversations, and not having conversations that make people who don't look like us feel comfortable. I think we've run into this conversation where, you know, people want to have conversations, or they say they want to have conversations, but when a conversation gets difficult or hard for them to handle or accept, and people don't want to talk about privilege and things like that, then the conversation, people start feeling funny. They always say, I'm not like that, or no one I know is like that. But sometimes you just have to hear it. In those difficult conversations, sometimes feelings get hurt. But guess what? There are a lot of people of color who are hurting every single day that are never heard and never listened to. And so if we're not able to have these difficult conversations and really put action to these conversations and try to make people's lives better, we're never going to solve this. I mean, we every single time something like this happens, we always say we need to have a conversation about race. Well, I'm sick of saying what we need to have. We just need to do it.
You know, not too long ago, I talked on the show to somebody who's part of a team that facilitates these kind of conversations and tries to help people hear each other and to break through some of the defensiveness people could feel on either side of that conversation. I mean, is that what we need? Like trained, I don't know, facilitators, mediators to be in the room to help these things happen and, you know, make sure they don't, you know, just end up in making people mad on both sides?
Of course. I think we need all the professionals to come to this conversation that we can have, because guess what? We have to have trainers to teach us how to drive. We have training to learn how to be better parents. We have training to learn how to become better dads, better moms, training for almost every single thing. We have training to learn how to ride a motorcycle. But we don't have training on how to deal with the one thing that this country has a hard time wrapping its arms around, and that's race. And until we have some experts that can really show us how to do this and keep us at the table, so when people get mad, they don't just say, okay, I'm done with this conversation. I don't want to hear it no more. I'm walking away. No, no. You need to come back to this table and you need to sit down and listen, because until we start ironing out some of these issues, these problems will still exist. So you need to, if you really want to be a part of the solution, don't walk away. Don't take your ball and go home. Stay here and listen and try to come up with some solutions. That's what we need, and we need experts to show us how to do that.
In our last just a minute now, James, you know, we've been through this so many times and had the same conversation, and then we're back here again. Do you have hope? Do you have a way of finding hope, given that it seems like we just keep coming back to the same place?
Well, I do have hope, because I've seen how it can happen. For instance, I participate in this class called Unlearning Racism. yes, there's a class called that at the YWCA. And in that class, even as an African-American man who's been black all my life, I learned a little bit about myself when it comes to race as well. And I was in this class with about 40 students, and majority of them were white. But and I think a majority of them were in there to try to learn something and try to be a part of the solution. That class needs to be taught everywhere, and everybody needs to participate in that so we could start to having, you know, thoughtful conversations and moving the needle forward. But it starts with those simple kind of conversations and people participating in events like that.
James, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with us again today.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
That's James Causey, projects reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and a 2019-2020 Marquette University O'Brien Fellow. He's with us today to talk about his history of living in and reporting on Milwaukee. We focused on an article published this weekend in the Journal Sentinel titled "Don't Let Looters Obscure Message of Protests. Change Has to Come." You can keep sharing your thoughts over at the Ideas Network Facebook page and follow the latest news about what's going on in Wisconsin with protests and everything else going on at WPR.org/news.